This is CliffCentral.com.
And hello to you, wherever you may be. Welcome to Cliff Central. Welcome to Beyond Ears and Eyes. As always, it's amazing to be in your company. And it's, you know, it's very gratifying to know that you've taken the time to be with us and listen to us and participate. I'm Shemaine Harris.
And with us in studio, pressing all the buttons and making us sound amazing, is Palesa Mabuye. Hey, Palesa.
Hello.
Of course, I'm Liesl Tom. Hello, everyone. And also in studio, Shemaine, is Wanda Bruce. Today we are talking about the magic of plants. And I have to tell you, the journey I took to get to Wanda was quite interesting. But Wanda, first, I think you should tell people why you are the expert on the magic of plants. Because for me to do it is going to take quite a while. You're more practiced, you know, you've got this down pat. Very briefly, your experience in plants.
Well, let's just say that Africa holds, and particularly South Africa, 10% of our fauna and flora. And I mean, it's alive, it's kicking, and why not just have a good look at it? So I got involved with clients, people in the pharmaceutical industry with complementary medicine who just showed me plantations of plants. And I happened to write all about it. I had to go research, what was this plant, what is it going to do? And acquired knowledge over the years, having to, as a writer, as an educator on the net, I like to open people's minds.
And at the moment, you are doing research about indigenous plants and their medicinal properties.
It's not a concentrated research. It's research when spirit guides me. The spirit of the plant gets led to me. So we can talk about cannabis, and that got led to me this weekend.
Okay, so are you saying you are a herbalist?
No, I'm not a herbalist.
Okay.
I'm a writer. I'm an educator. I'm a health coach.
Okay.
I'm a therapist.
Mm-hmm.
I wouldn't call myself a doctor,
but
I have insight and I'm extremely intuitive.
Because when somebody says that, you know, like the spirit, you go with the spirit or the spirit of the plant, and that's kind of like, for me, that's like,
yeah, sound that also must grabbed speak, me.
You know, that
I
kind
noticed
of
it grabbed you.
Can I,
but I'll take, I'll
you
just,
know, so, and I mean, we often take a word and we have different connotations to it. And this is not to place you in a box. You know, but for me, if somebody does have all that knowledge, they go up a notch, you know, because they go into teacher territory.
You know? I like the word teacher plants. Okay, teachers plants. Have
so how do they call you?
What they call me?
How do they call you? The plants.
Oh, the plants.
Yes.
Or the people.
Yeah.
You have to have an awareness about yourself to start with. I think it is where you find where your perceptions lie. And I think from a viewpoint of plants, the most fundamental perceptions lie on how we view the world when it comes to plants. The most fundamental perception would be the plants.
Okay, I know there's a thought behind that statement. Do you want to go on?
But there's energy.
Okay,
so we are all energy. Everything is energy. And it's just different layers and different levels. Mm-hmm. And so are the plants. And plants, I think if we look at the world today, there's a conscious revolution happening.
Mm-hmm.
I think that we have 7 billion people on this planet and nowhere to go. Nothing to do except like grumble, where we're next, so tired, so exhausted, waking up every day to do what?
Mm-hmm.
So there's a level of consciousness, and those that have found that level of consciousness are seeing a new world, a new place.
Do you think
this whole thing also has where people are now getting in touch with plants more.
Do you think that is the spirit of the plants calling us and saying, listen, guys, you actually need to start hearing us? And you know, and then, because there are people who can hear? People like you, you know, who can hear and who can help with raising awareness. Mm-hmm. And, you know, because you actually, they got in touch with you and you said, okay, I'll be the mad one and tell people that the plants are speaking to me. Or have I got it wrong? And then in that way, then you go like educate the ones who are willing to learn.
Well, again, it's about the perception. So where you take your perception, okay, and when you look at something, you know, what are you seeing and what and how are you seeing it? You know, and are you seeing it three-dimensionally? And does it change color or form, or does it talk? So when I say teacher plants, are they talking? And how do they talk when they talk? No, they talk when we take them, when we use them, when we...
When you talk about teacher plants, are those the ayahuascas, ibogas, mushrooms?
Well, when you said magic, and I'm going to come talk about magic plants, for me, I saw sacred plants. For me, I also saw energy in the plants and intelligence.
But don't all plants have an...
Aren't they sacred?
They're not all sorts.
Yes, they do. But you must remember that sacred plants are very special. And therefore, we can define it in four categories. Probably, you probably look at plants as food, medicine, poison, you know, and sacred.
Okay.
Facilitators, basically. So okay. Those we say that's how we divide the plants up.
Sacred in what way? You need to be a little more specific, because I'm going, sacred in what way?
Well, if you go back centuries, if you go back in time and you have a look at cultures and history, and you go back in, if you want to go to the Amazon, you know, but in Africa has a lot of indigenous people as well. Mm. But all over the world, the indigenous people that have upheld the spirit of the plant, that honor the spirit of the plant, that bow down every day and honor that and give thanks for that. Because that is their medicine, their food, and their livelihoods.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and it helps to create the energy of the culture as well. So the ceremonies and rituals that they would perform with these plants.
What are they?
But when they do specifically for certain sacred, like ayahuasca, iboga, and there are probably a couple others that I don't even know
what ayahuasca and iboga is.
These are psychoactive plants. So if... people in America had to take the psychoactive plant, they would probably see it as poison and get sick and vomit and
or
do horrible things. Yeah, and as a drug if they isolate it, because they isolate the plant. And then what happens is, but in the culture, when they take it, it's not poisonous for them because they're honoring it, because they understand the intelligence of the plant and what they need to do and the rituals that they're going to perform around that intelligence. So they would have the rites of passage, for example. Mm-hmm. They would maybe smoke or drink from the plant's sap to create an energy and an atmosphere for that ritual experience and to open up consciousness and awareness as
and,
well.
And would they then go on
a journey.
Vision quest or
It's individual,
similar?
Yes, it's very individual for everybody. There's, and that's what's so amazing about plants, as when you talk about plants and drugs, because of the drug, you're isolated and there's no vision, there's no journey, and you give one drug for everybody, you know, one drug for high blood pressure, etc. But here you can give a tea, and it's a compound tea, and it works synergistically together with all the other plants that have been put in and dried into that formulational compound, would be a better word. And when and you can drink this tea for all the time, and it's not going to have no side effects. And they go, well, why are there no side effects? Because I used that same compound and I isolated all those herbs in the compound and suddenly I've got all these side effects. So those are different types of plants. They're not so much the sacred plants, because we've shifted now to, like, you know, maybe just the human need for plants, okay? So they have plants for everything, but if we're talking about sacred, they're energy, they're intelligent, and they've also been, what's the word, they people are uprooting them and they are not putting them back into the earth. So you'll get a whole expedition arriving in the Amazon, and they come to collect the plants so they can sell it into the commercial world, and therefore what is happening to all these sacred plants. And it's only the indigenous people that are looking after it, but they're uplifting the indigenous people too. So I think we've reached a point on the planet where we need to go back to our tradition, when we come back to 7 billion people. And that's where I'm going with, like, where we are in the world, that there's a conscious revolution going on, and why people are going back towards plants and actually looking at plants and trying to change their perception, while the rest of us are busy trying to buy everything that might be plastic and
accumulate
the masses, or just, and how much more do they want to destroy the planet? Okay, they're not here, the Gaia, Mother Earth, crying out as the plants are also crying out and calling.
It's you know, it's great to say, do you not hear, do we not hear, but we need education, you know, and therefore it is great that people like you can come and talk about it.
We talk about plants are part of an ecosystem, you know, parts of conservation. And what are we?
You're giving a different slant to it. You're giving a slant of, you know, yeah. You've got the different. Because when I heard of sacred plants, I'm going like, are we discriminating?
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. At all.
But do you understand what I mean? But you're breaking it down nicely. You're going like, that's for rituals or for raising consciousness, because with that, obviously, you can understand that's where you'll go, you know, and that's for food, and that's for whatever, you know, and those are for
medicinal purposes, et cetera, et cetera.
So when you break it down like that, it helps.
I want to ask you, you said the one subgroup is poisonous plants.
Well, they all have alkaloids.
Aren't they just, you know, aren't we just taking them in the wrong dosage? Because I've read recipes that uses hemlock and foxglove, which is highly poisonous.
Yes, that's correct.
But in minute, minuscule doses, they can do other things.
That's correct. That's why they work synergistically and in harmony.
That's a big
with
word.
Everything together.
Say it slowly.
Synergistically.
It's because I battle with that.
Yeah, so do I. I was surprised I said it so well.
I'm very proud of you.
And they work in harmony together with the condition, with a person. That's the intelligence of the plants we're talking about. Is that, you know, that super harmony feel of working together with what's needed. And then medical science comes and tries to isolate and take it away from the harmony. So we're busy on a project.
You mean tries to or does?
Does as well.
There you go.
I'm educating a doctor about exactly this, the synergistically, the symphony and orchestra that these compounds sing to the human spirit, you know, and to heal. And he says to me, but I don't see anything in this plant that says about gallbladder, and this plant, tansy, is just poison, when they've done all the research. So how can the tansy be in there? I'm going, they work synergistically together in harmony with each other. You can't take it out and say, now this is poison and this is this, and try as a medical specialist or doctor, you know, and try and find value there. And you're not going to win, because this is much bigger than we are. Without plants, we don't breathe. So that's how much bigger it is than us, you know, and that's how I see it. But having said that, that's just on the medical side. You know, when it comes to plants for food, we can look at our kitchen of herbs and things like that. But if we go back to the sacred plants, what's really incredible is that you can watch addiction disappear in 5 days.
Okay, sacred plants, name us a few. I know you mentioned the ayahuasca and the Ebola.
Iboga.
Ebola or something else?
Yes, that's we might need plants for that too.
I'm sure. And then how many others are there? And I would love
is
to touch on that thing.
Is cannabis a sacred plant?
Said.
Now,
because for some religions, what is it, the Rastafarians use cannabis as a sacred plant.
You know what's interesting is that if you have a look at some of the ancient belief systems, and you look at Christianity and the Roman Catholics and things, and if you look at them, they do baptism and communion. So indigenous people and people who aspire to the modern way of living culture really love plants and understand intelligence, would then that their rituals would be like a communion, would like a baptism with the plant. So sacred plants, they would in their rituals be baptized with the sacred plant. Okay, so that's one element I wanted to bring to you to help you understand the magic or the sacredness of the plants. It's like a baptism or a communion would be a nice way to explain it. In their rituals and their ceremonies that they do. I don't know how many there are, because there's still a lot that's uncovered, but I know of 3 or 4, you know, and the one that I've did quite a bit of research on a couple of times was Iboga, Ibogaine. And Ibogaine was used here in South Africa at a clinic that as well that I saw, and because I go and recce, and go out and check what's going on and come back and write and then upload. okay. all the information and say, here guys, read some stuff, you know. And I saw this clinic.
Because you have a website where people can yes. get all that information.
That's
from.
Correct, yes. Yeah. Yes. So
what's it called again?
It's called www.healthsense.
Okay.
One word, .co.za.
Okay.
So
you go, you recce, you write, and put it up.
And I put it up there, and people find me and they think I'm the expert on that particular plant, and then I would lead them to the expert if there is an expert, you know, or else I would give them as much knowledge as I gained, because imparting knowledge is what it's all about, to share, you know, and to share with communities and people. And life is moving that way because of the lack of the excess.
Mm-hmm.
And the next big thing on the table is food security and water, etc.
Definitely.
And when you look at that, plants are, you know, a way that we need to start growing them.
Well, even if you are not a vegetarian, our meat sources need plants. So yes. without plants, we are...
That's correct, the oxygen. So
a little bit in trouble.
Yes, so the conservation comes in, and the ecosystems of these plants. It's also quite amazing to see what's happening in the world. And I recently just completed a course with the United Nations on consumption and production.
Okay. You might have to speak a little louder because you're going over. Oh, am I? Your voice is going a little lower and lower.
Okay, sorry.
Okay. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So, it's becoming very obvious that people are worldwide, there must have been about 1,500 people on this online course. And obviously we all had threads to go in and read each other's work and assignments. And quite incredible to see what some countries are lacking and how they're struggling just to find, you know, save the ecosystems and to get people onto the bandwagon of conservation and say, mm-hmm. are you conscious? How aware are you of what's actually going on in the world? Or people, they just don't care. How many, but there also a lot, when I saw there were 1,500 people, I thought, well, at least there's 1,500 people wanting to know more, to educate, to change the world and make it a better place for us all. And I think that plants really do play such an important role. And it's not just us as humans, it's also the animals,
mm-hmm.
you know, that the plants. And if I look at Devil's Claw, Devil Claw is a really interesting plant. There was in Mpumalanga, there's a place up there where it grew prolifically when I was a couple of years back. And we used to sort of go and just have weekends away there, and Devil's Claw was everywhere. Now I'm sure it's not everywhere because they're exploiting we exploit.
So what does it do?
Devil's Claw is incredible because it's a pain for arthritis. It has many anti-inflammatory.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not maybe it's a magic plant because it can do so many things at once. It's not a sacred plant.
Okay.
And a sacred plant is a psychedelic plant.
Okay.
Those are the ones that the shamans would consume to get in touch with source, whatever label.
And the indigenous people, for want of a better word, because shamanism, there are different types of shamanism all over the world. You know, I met a shaman here in South Africa that lives in Muizenberg.
Mm.
And Peter was an amazing spiritual man, and he believes in the Holy Grail. And getting in touch with the body from Holy Grail and that there's 17 virtues. So here's a different take on shamanism. Mm-hmm. So maybe shamanism is not...
Indigenous people
okay. much better.
I'm so glad that you mentioned that, you know, because now it's not an exclusive thing, you know, because when you go into that, one can be going like, oh, okay, so only you can do that, you know, and then you take away from the fact that person who is now called the shaman, who's learned so much, or who's more gifted than the regular person possibly, you know, they're the only ones with the answers, and you take away from the fact that there are other people who still going on with those traditions, you know,
yes.
and they're practicing it, and they have full communities and doing it, and like you say, doing the daily thing of getting up and seeing this plant and thanking it for whatever purposes, you know, it brings to lives. I think that's a beautiful thing, where you actually go, you know what? You little desert rose.
Yeah. Yes.
Thank you for whatever. Yes. I mean, yes. I don't know what use it for.
Before we carry on too much further, please come back to the iboga. Tell us what it does.
Okay. So they had. I can't be sure of the participants at the clinic what their conditions were, but they were obviously some type of drug addicts, and they. they'd submit, they admit them for 4 or 5 days,
mm-hmm.
And then they start administering the iboga. And they put them in a room, and it's, in some cases, it's got to be minimalistic. So it's just got to be a bed and, you know, a cushion and nothing. Yeah. And they're going to, yeah. What? They're going to reach. They're going,
they have to have a bucket.
They okay. have to reach. They've okay. got to purge.
Right.
With the plants, you must purge.
All right.
You know,
the body does that, though, with yeah. with anything. Once you, it starts healing from... It gets rid of things, whether it's emotions or shaking.
Whatever, it's the purging has to happen.
Or sweat or what.
So I've been to a couple of
so
clinics.
So it doesn't smell good there.
This okay. was the first clinic a couple of years back that I went to. And it was sort of very hapdash. And I thought, oh, interesting. And he was it was experimental by the looks of it. And he came out and he said, and 5 days later, these people, they go through a whole cycle of stuff, and everybody's different. There's not one individual that is actually handling it, and the drug is, the iboga is doing the same thing for everybody. They administered IV mm-hmm. in that case. But
which other ways can you take it? Do you know?
Orally, yes. Okay. Orally, microdosing. Okay, so okay. The second clinic I went to, a retreat, which I really loved because it was an eco-retreat. And there was a clinical psychologist there. And
was this in Gauteng?
Yeah. Well, I don't know if it falls under Gauteng. It's more like Rustenburg Way.
Okay.
Northwest
okay.
province.
Yeah, it's Buffelsport, somewhere there.
Okay.
And there it was quite interesting because there they do a whole profile. You go through an assessment, and it was really professionally done. And then there were alcoholics, case studies of alcoholics coming through, their heroin addicts in 5 days clean, and their consciousness awareness opened up. There was one guy there that apparently he kept seeing things. He was highly educated and had a successful business, but it started to play on his life because it overtook his life that he kept seeing things like...
Was he psychic?
No, I would say that maybe it was probably schizophrenia kind of thing. Maybe he thought, well, you know, because... Like, and he booked in, and 5 days later cleared completely. So you must also remember there's a lot of energies. Remember, everything's energy. Our bodies are energy, you know. And if people doubt that and they think that's woo-woo, I mean, I really have to just say, you know, just go to the university, just ask for Killian Camera and go take a photograph of the human being, and you'll see that there's an aura, mm-hmm. you know.
Well, that's the one thing we've been saying for a while now, or not saying, but seeing that there is more and more scientific proof of all these things that have been regarded for years and years and years as woo-woo. Mm-hmm. I mean, I read a plaque at Homeopath a while ago that said when humans started, medicine was here, take this root, and then it became here, take this tincture, and then it became here, take this pill, and we are moving back to here,
take this root. But now the roots are the bitter ones, and the flowers and the leaves are actually they're not as bitter. So I always tell my clients and friends, and because I'm sure I've also got a label that I don't know about, you know, is that they are a bit hesitant at first, the friends, and then suddenly the devil's claw. And I'm standing there and oh, beautiful dog. And we can't, and for years my friends had this dog and can't get up the stairs anymore.
Oh, you're a dog.
I'm going, no. We've got to look after this baby now. Really. And the dog loves me.
And even if you have to say it yourself.
Yeah, it adores me. And she doesn't understand why this. What is this love? But I have that spirit, you see, because dogs are spirit too, you see. And it's quite interesting because I said, devil's claw, I'm going to get you some. Well, how much is it? And blah, blah, blah. I'm going, oh, it's probably $100 for 100 grams. And, you know, so we'll go get this and I'll bring it back. And so we say, okay, let's open it. She said, discs. They look like wooden discs. So put them in the pot, brew them, infuse them. Let's get this going. And then it changes color and everything. I said, now you can use this again tomorrow and do it again tomorrow. Now fill up a liter jug in the fridge. But now it's bitter because now it's like we tasted the bark. You know, the bark's bitter. And she said, how's he going to eat the beautiful thing? It's too bitter. I said, gravy and the dog food. You have to prepare a menu So... She got it down to a T, I must say. Aww. And for 6 months, she's been doing this ritual. And suddenly, I'm now been delivering not just one, like, you know, 100 grams, a couple other people down the line that also want for them.
For their dogs.
Not just their dogs. It's the design studio at my friend's. And suddenly, the seamstresses are coming down. What's that stuff you're giving to the dog, Wanda? We want that for our arthritis.
Oh, wow.
And I'm going, wow, the gorgos wanted for the arthritis.
That's amazing.
And that's incredible. So suddenly from the one house, I'm getting like 4 orders a month of devil's claw coming through, you know.
So where do you get the devil? Because you find them in shops nowadays, in little bottles and stuff.
They do, but
are they good or are they very watered down?
No.
Because we're like going to go like devil's claw.
No, you see, because the difference is that the traditional people love the teas.
Mm.
Love it in its crude form. And I do too, because I think that then I'm not liable for the dosage overdose. Mm.
You know, so the tea is the weakest form of... I mean, what I'm trying to get at is, what is the difference between a tincture, an infusion,
okay,
a tea?
Okay. All right. An infusion and a tea is basically the same thing. Okay. You infuse it, okay, into a teapot or into a pot. It means you just brew it for a while. But what is then, they make it into a supplement. They make it into, a powder form. Mm-hmm. They make it into a tablet. So that's a different process. And though that different process, they need certain other ingredients to make that formulation.
Stabilize.
To hold it. To cake. A caking agent for the tablet. They need a coating for the tablet, you know. Mm-hmm. And maybe it's a sugar coating for the tablet. So that's an extra process, an extra thing, so it becomes more expensive.
Okay.
So everything you add besides the herb is now another at a cost. So, and then there's the bottle, and then there's, and by the time it gets into Dis-Chem or wherever, you can go and buy Devil's Claw there, and you can buy their brand or another brand, etc. You ought to say, well, how much of the active ingredient is actually in there?
Uh-huh.
Okay, because you've got all these other agents that had in terms of the formulation.
Right.
So that's why you'll find the traditional people much preferred it in its natural form.
Turmeric, is that also a magic? Because it also sounds almost like you're talking about turmeric, because it's kind of like the same. Mm. Helps with the inflammation. Rah, rah, rah.
Turmeric's a root.
Mm-hmm.
Like ginger.
Yes.
Okay, so tansy is a plant. Devil claw is bark. So, you know, you start differentiating between what the parts of the plants that it comes from. So if turmeric's a root, it's a yellow root and it's seasonal. Mm-hmm. And it's quite amazing how that yellow root is also a dye. But it's also, the botanical word is a curcumin, something like that, that is now the active ingredient in it that aids in cancer, or helps with cancer.
And with Alzheimer's prevention.
Well, that's the research that's not conclusive.
Is it not conclusive?
Because there is research, but when you start looking at research for cancer, it's a huge market. And you've got to look at what they don't want in that market as well.
Mm.
And that's my concern when we talk magic plants, you know, because turmeric's a beautiful herb and it colors everything yellow, including your tea towels, you know. Mm-hmm. So, but it is an antioxidant, is where I would go with it. And because that research is more conclusive than for cancer or a disease. So let's not put labels on it, because when it's magic, you don't want to label anything.
Oh, wonderful. Ooh. Aloe vera.
Oh, lovely.
You know, because everybody goes on about aloe vera.
Yes, it's about the herb or the plant of the
it's
moment.
It's a sap. Mm-hmm. And it's also a succulent. So it doesn't need much water. So since Africa is a water scarcity and we're looking at desertification, that's a wonderful plant to grow here because it doesn't need much water, and it can grow in the Karoo in the deserts.
Okay. And it grows very well and very fast.
I have to tell you, do not confuse the difference between an aloe vera and aloe ferox, because aloe vera, we only hold 1% of the world's commodity. Okay, but an aloe ferox grows in the Northern Cape prolifically. So you're looking at more like aloe ferox here, and as a local plant.
Which do you use for what?
And very similar properties to both, but aloe vera is stunning because it not only is it a sap, it's an alkalizer to the digestive tract. Excellent for skin because it's got high moisturizing properties in it. And so, yes, it's an all-rounder. And they marketed big in the townships in a big way. I worked with a Dutch company that actually was subsidized and brought it in, the aloe vera, and they had plantations in little islands all over the world. But we are not the biggest producer of aloe vera by far, but aloe ferox is. And beautiful cosmetics they make with it and soaps. And those are a better option than buying Dove and, you know, and Nivea and all of those commercial brands, because it's more natural.
So what are you saying? Plant yourself some aloe vera or aloe ferox in your garden and use those when you go wash or make your own soap with it.
Now, remember, you know, the sap of the aloe plant is also bitter. So you get the aloe bitters.
Because people drink that. It's yucky. I do not understand why people go like, have some, it's wonderful. And I go like, you're trying to kill me. But I mean, I know people religiously drink it.
No,
and when they do, it means they believe in that plant.
And would that belief almost make the plant's properties stronger?
Because now what you have is shape shifting. Okay, so when you talk about magic, okay, and you talk about energies, so here you are, or me, here's me, and here's the plant, and say aloe vera for want of a plant, and I like think, so it's just what I need. How do I know that? Because I'm listening to my body. I'm conscious, I'm awake, I'm out there, and I take the plant, and I'm like, yes, I love you, I drink you.
Okay.
I bless
you. Merge with you. No, I just merge.
But that's blessing. I love
because
you.
Because we're energy, we can integrate, and interconnect,
so take its properties.
And take its properties, and then that's shape shifting, and that's the way we need to shape shift the world to be a better place. Is with the plants and start caring for them and growing them and loving them.
You see, you've just taken the word out of shape shifting for me, out of the word shape shifting.
Yes. Not quite for me yet. I'm thinking, I don't want to be an aloe. Are we all going to stand there?
No.
Sorry, I'm teasing. Carry on.
Well, you can choose Tansy then.
What is this Tansy? This is like the fourth time you guys mentioned Tansy.
No, because that's the toxic plant. There's so much research about the toxicity of it, but Tansy is wonderful as an insect repellent.
Is it?
It's got other properties. I'm still researching and I'm not quite on top of it, to be honest. But like one of the big things for Tansy is a repellent for insects and things. But now the other interesting part is impepo.
Oh, say more.
And impepo for me is helichrysum, okay, which is its botanical name. That is a magic plant because it's what we call African sage. And the Caucasian or the white girl would come along like me and say, I want to go buy some incense. And what incense do I want? Because I want a clear space. I want sage. I want white sage. And we burn white sage to clear space. Okay, negative energy out the space. So impepo is in the indigenous people for many years in Africa, and it still is. When we used to go to these imbizos and meetings, there's just a couple of traditional healers. We always gave them the space in front of the stage before any of the guests arrived, the guest speakers and things, and the facilitators, and they would burn and do their ritual with the impepo in front of the stage to clear the space. So that's really nice. So we use incense in the same way. So it's not such a, you know.
I thought you were going to say we drink it.
I was going to ask, is burning the only thing impepo is
used for? I had a patient in today, or a client in today, and it's the first time he's come to see me. He met me before. And he it was incredible. He just said there, and I said to him, I want you to take impepo. He said, what? He said, I've never met anyone like you that is so familiar with this. And I'm going, yes, well, I said, I've had an interesting journey with plants. And so thank you for inviting me here today. And I said, and I want you to drink it. And I want you to burn it in your space. And what he discovered was that his biological father, we only met now, you know, 30 years later. And so there's a lot of stuff going in his mind about the energy and the feelings and the emotions about, how do I feel about this? You know, so it's all family issues.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe that's why he's seeing me, because he's not feeling great about all the family issues, and it's causing a condition. And he said, so how did you know this? Because I said, I don't know, I saw it yesterday when I was preparing for a radio talk, and it came across, and I knew you were seeing me today, and I knew that you needed impepo before I even heard what you were about. So it's less, when he said, you know, how do I talk to them? How do you know? you just know, you know, mm-hmm. it's like an awareness.
All right.
And he was said, I said, you can go to the markets and get it. He said, no, you got to get it. Okay. So I phone up a pharmacist while he's there and say, ah, have you got Impepo? Impepo, how do you spell that? I'm going, okay. Now, so you see, he's talked to the commercial world and he talked to the traditional world or you talk to, you know, I'm going like, wow, I didn't, I was quite surprised today. I thought everybody knows what Impepo is. Mm. So it just shows you where I live, you know, in my head with everything. And I said, okay, no, well, how do you spell it? I said, helicretium. What? Spell it? And I'm going, no. Is that plant so unknown to the pharmaceutical world? Mm. And yet it is so known right to all the people in Africa.
All the indigenous culture.
Then I said, oh, but it's African African sage. No, we only have common sage, the one you put in your stews. I said, no, I don't want that one. Mm. But interesting. So I'm giving it to him for two reasons. To ingest it and to clear space. Because there's not conflict, but there's confusion in his mind, emotions that he's going through. And I need to help him too.
And what would the ingestion help?
The ingestion, the inflammation in the body. Because the minute, remember we're an energy system. So the minute something upsets you, it's going to cause a reaction of your emotion in your body. So you need to shift that emotion, or else you've got the reaction stays. So we'll use it as for its energetic properties and for its anti-inflammatory and microbial properties.
I'd say. So I never thought of drinking it. No, wait.
Yeah, I've never heard. Okay, but now be careful which Impepo you do, because you can go to the markets and they actually just twine the Impepo up.
The bundle.
Yes, in the bundle, or they actually just put into like a wreath kind of thing and you buy it. But, you know, you're not sure of your source. So you be sure of your source, because it could be, you don't know where it's been, you know, and how clear or clean, or, you know. So because it's the same with Medical Control Council. When you got to make sure that you've got a COA, a certificate of analysis, which really says where's it coming from, and, you know, sanitation and all of that kind of stuff. So you just be a little more careful if you are looking for Impepo, then you're looking for more the botanical name if you want to ingest it.
Okay.
You know, don't just go and get an Impepo off the markets and say, I'm now drinking it, you know, because, and then say it goes wrong, you know, because you don't know.
This knowing the source of the plants, would that also play a role when you are harvesting herbs for your own medicinal reasons?
Absolutely. Okay, source and species and land area where it originates from.
And moon phase?
Oh, absolutely.
What's moon phase? Hook me up. Is that thing that happened last night?
Well, last night we had a partial lunar eclipse. Yes. But some herbs, I've heard, and I mean, you would tell me where I'm wrong, you harvest during full moon, and other herbs during dark moon. Is that more or less
true? Yes, there's a lot of pagans that would utilize, that kind of seasonal or guidance from the moon.
But does it not play an actual part? I mean, as we've said, science is more and more proving these woo-woo things that we talk about. So would the phase of the moon, would the moon pull the waters of the plant or something? Would it influence its efficacy?
Absolutely. Not its efficacy, it's richness. Okay, it's richness. Okay, and the way it grows, because it's like everything, it's the Vedic tradition, which is, if you go in Ayurvedic, because then you're looking at Ayurvedic plants. They're the same as ours, except it's just a different terminology because it's Indian-based. Mm-hmm. But Ayurveda and Vedic are the oldest healthcare system in the world. Mm. And from there, they're plants, and they believe very much in seasonal. And that's what it is, the same as agricultural, seasonal growth. So whether it's by the moon phase and that's going to actually help with the richness and of that plant and the energy that you're putting into that plant by growing it under the moon. And my ex-fiance that I lived with, we would always go to the nursery and then he would just leave them. And I'm going, why haven't you planted anything? He was waiting for the moon. I discovered one day, really. And here he was waiting for the moon to plant all the shrubs in our garden. And he said, you watch how beautiful they're going to grow. Mm-hmm. You know, he said, it's incredible to see.
I have heard that where people go, but you're very good with the moon stuff as well, Liesl.
You can actually buy a calendar that tells you the planting seasons with the moon. I've never worried too much about it, but I've sort of just flitted past that. And maybe if I had the opportunity, I would take more cognizance of it.
Do you have an amazing garden where you can harvest from for whatever?
I did. And I live up in Lock-up-and-go, minimalistic.
All right.
Because my work is outside of that Lock-up-and-go.
All right.
My life basically is outside of that Lock-up-and-go. It's a choice that I made for a short while. But yes, I've had my own gardens and always my own herb garden and rose garden. And funny enough, the house that I lived in, we bought and purchased, and it was owned by a Greek and a British couple. And she had died, and therefore he was a Greek artist and was selling the home. And this is when you talk about magic, okay, and the plants. And just to cut a long story short, we're in the house for just recently moved in, taken occupation and everything. And every night I went to bed and switched my light lamp off, the lamp would go back on. Crazy.
Haunted. So she thought.
No, I could feel it wasn't haunted because I actually have... I can walk into a place and say, oh, don't like it, it's haunted, and I'm out of there. So there's a difference between haunted or there's an energy there.
Mm-hmm.
And there's definitely an energy there, and I knew it had to be her, okay? She had passed and he's moving on and we bought the house. And so one night we're sitting in the kitchen and he said, let's do renovations. All the roses at the bottom of the garden, and she, being British, the roses were all of it, and he... I never forget the Greek said to my fiancé, please do not move her roses. And suddenly he's wanting to uplift all. I said, you can't uplift the roses. He says, no, I'll put them on the side by where we make the car park and so forth and so forth. And the next thing, so he does that. The day that he did that, and it all looked fantastic, and we redesigned the whole garden. That night we were socializing with friends in the kitchen. And I just said, thank you for not moving, not killing the roses.
Uh-huh.
And there was like this whole room, and there must have been about six of us having dinner in the kitchen, and this like fluttering, like doves, hundreds and hundreds of doves. And we all could feel it. And we all, energy systems felt like we were doves. It was quite incredible. And I just stood up and I said, she's leaving us now. She's fine. It was the last time the light ever switched off on honor.
I've got goosebumps.
There's magic roses.
Were they white?
You know, we seem to intuit that roses are magic because there's so much lore around the rose.
Mm. As there is with rosemary.
Go ahead. Yes. What are the myths or stories around that?
Well, you know, if a woman grows rosemary in her garden... She is head of the house. So in more traditional times, Victorian times, the men used to go into the garden digging up all the rosemary bushes to prove to her that he was head of the house. And because they used to say that they used to do witch's brew with rosemary, you know, in the Victorian era. And so that's quite a myth. Is that now myth?
Well, I don't know. I know it cooks really well, and it's really good for the hair.
Great.
And, you know, and it makes the place smell nice.
It cleanses.
You know, you put it next to the bed, you crush it a little bit. It smells divine.
But
you sleep like a baby, kind of like with lavender.
Because the rosemary you can take a sprig of rosemary and put it under your pillow, and you will. It's known that they say that you will not have nightmares. Evil dreams and evil spirits will be warded off.
Oh, right.
Mm, by the fact that you just put it under your pillow.
And lavender. Shemaine just mentioned lavender. And I have to say, if I have to choose between rosemary and lavender, I'll choose lavender. Except I do think I'll plant a rosemary bush.
They make nice hedges, as does lavender.
Yeah. Mm. But you wanted to hear from about the lavender.
Lavender for me is... I think you sleep more peacefully, and it calms the nervous system, and it's a gentle healer.
Mm. It also helps with headaches, and it also amplifies other plants' properties,
mm-hmm,
does
yes.
it not?
Yes, it can. Yes, it is, because it's gentle. Yeah. So,
I normally also use it when I go away from my space, because I feel stuff. So it's difficult for me to fall asleep in someone else's space.
Yes.
If I'm not.
Yes.
You know, and then that I use. And if I don't, you know, obviously you can't sometimes go around with lavender itself. Your lavender and salt sachet, you can't do that. But then what you do is you get some drops on a tissue next to your bed. Bob's your uncle. It helps, you know.
Yes.
Me, anyway. It helps
because
me.
It's calming. Mm. It's a calmative herb. It's not it's not a teacher herb.
Mm-hmm.
But having said that, also rose is very interesting because rose is uplifting. Okay. We, you know, obviously I'm a health therapist as well. And
do you also eat rose leaves or rose petals?
I use the oil blend.
All right. Do you make them yourself?
No, I got a supplier.
All right.
If I had the time when I'm retired, I'll make them myself. Because that's
so
fun.
It takes forever to distill the oils.
But you'd buy the distilled oil in and then work it. But you, because then you're going to have a distiller, you know, and that's mm-hmm. quite expensive. So, but you can create other things with it. You know, you can potpourri.
What's a teacher herb?
A teacher herb is the ones that will have uniquely individual lessons for each of us.
So how would we know? And give examples, man. Don't be all mystical about this.
Thank you, Liesl.
Well, for instance, the teacher plant for this client today with him, people. Mm. Well, I know it's a little teacher plant for him.
Okay.
But it's maybe not for somebody else.
Okay.
So it is very individualized.
Yes. So let me give you an example. I had a client who phoned me and said, I need to change my massage. And I said, oh, okay, no problem. Why? And she just burst into tears and said, my father's just passed. I just got news 10 minutes ago and I can't make it. I said, no, well, don't worry. She said, but it expires now. I said, don't worry. I'll book you. When are you back? About 10 days? No problem. I'll book you for 10 days. Absolutely. There's no question that you're gonna, it doesn't matter that you're not redeeming it in time. And she came in and had the massage. It was and I was very aware of her. And she went to Limpopo and did the ritual and the burial. And so I had a lot of compassion in my spirit that day when she came in. And I put some rosemary into the rose oil. And I massaged her and then told her she's in a safe space and rest. And I left the room. And she came out of here and she said, what did you use? I feel amazing. You took me straight back to the ritual of the burial.
Okay.
To make peace. She said, what oil? It was rosemary. But it was just a touch of rosemary that I put in the last minute. But the rose oil is uplifting and great for depression.
Mm-hmm.
And very therapeutic for moisture in the body.
It's also somehow, it makes me, that smell.
Beautiful.
Makes me, I think that's the way love smells.
Yes. I like that.
The energy.
You need to get a bunch of red roses so we can tell you how much we love you.
Is there? Thank you, Wanda. I'll graciously accept. Is there, can you explain how people came up with the idea that red roses are for love and yellow roses are for, or yellow daisies are for friendship?
I'm not really sure, but I always thought that yellow roses were for death.
Oh.
But recently when I read in some books, it said there that the yellow roses were for inspiration.
Okay.
I think perceptions change.
Do you think people make it up as they go along?
For friendship. Yes. You know, so I suppose it goes with the years.
Well, Wanda, we are almost out of time.
You must
there
go
is
to that
a
thing.
Story
uh-huh.
that when I said to Charmaine, so Charmaine, we're going to talk about the magic of plants. And she went like, huh? And I said, no, I met this incredible lady who told me the most amazing story.
Ah, yes, I know which one that
and
is.
And you know which one yes. it is. So there you go.
Today it's the second time I'm just feeling a little bit sad because my mentor wasn't any younger. And he taught me so many things about magic plants, actually, and and he made me believe more how much intelligence and spirit they have in these plants. I practiced for a long time and lived in Bryanston, before we sold the house, and there were, it was shrubbery mainly,
mm-hmm.
and the only kind of like plants that had kind of some color were the agapanthus. And the whole of the front fence was just covered with agapanthus, the palisade fencing. And every time I had a client come, new client come in, they would zoot past the house. And I'm like, I don't get it. How do these people just keep zooting past the house when there's a big 81 outside? And it's very clear, it's dark green, it's this, there's nothing to miss.
And loads of agas.
Yes.
Uh-huh.
There's nothing to miss.
Mm-hmm.
But they always miss it.
Aww.
And when I sat with my younger friend one night, and he sees my soul and he reads me very well and teaches me so many beautiful things. And he sat there and he said, you know what? He said, you do know. Eh? He said that every time you're sitting at home, you know, and people, they can never find you. I said, I'm sorry. He said, what do you mean? He said, because you've got agapanthus in front of your garden. He says, agapanthus hide you. So people can't find you. So if the sheriff of the court is coming, he won't find you because he drives straight past you.
Mm.
And so I'm going, that's why all my clients, from the first time they've ever come there, just drive straight past. And I thought it was, until I actually witnessed it afterwards, I became aware of it.
Uh-huh.
Before I wasn't aware of it, until he made me aware of it. And then when I had a couple of bookings of new clients, that's exactly what happened.
Wow. So if you want to hide,
you don't want to be seen. You don't want to be seen.
Especially not by the sheriff of the court.
If I tell all these people running out to buy agapanthus tomorrow.
I know. So what if you want an active social life? What plants would you put
really
in your garden?
African ginger is really nice.
African ginger.
But it's not always about what you plant.
Uh-huh.
It's how you use the plant.
So
that's the magic in the plant.
So great salmon. Throw it across your garden in front.
No, you're great ginger. And have ginger with lemon, you know, when you're pregnant and because you're feeling nausea. So you grate ginger into it, you know, warm water and have that, and then your nausea will go away.
Okay.
But African ginger is different. So you need a piece of African ginger, which you know is a root.
Uh-huh.
And then you need to just put it into your pocket because you're going to a board meeting or you're going to a, you know, some kind of like conference or something that you uh-huh. need to speak and you're a little bit nervous and you're not sure the outcome and things like that, then the African ginger will give you confidence and well-being within yourself.
That's amazing. Does it smell funny though?
No, because you've just got the root in your pocket, okay. You know what I mean? And
I mean, I'll do it as long as people don't think I smell funny.
But ginger smells great.
It doesn't. And no, it's a milder ginger than the common regular. Ginger, regular food ginger. I actually don't know the botanical name for our regular ginger,
mm-hmm.
and I'm always buying it. It's crazy.
So where'd you get it? If you call it, I just thought ginger is ginger, except for galangal, which
everything's got species.
All right. So in
South
African
Africa, there's
like?
Something like 254,000 species
ginger.
No, of plants.
Oh, okay. I was just about to die. So I need to find out what that one looks like.
The African ginger.
The African ginger. Yeah. So quickly, we had a conversation about fake plants. What are your thoughts about it? Because we use it, I use it. I'm not even going to be shy about it and say I use it to bulk up my fresh flowers. You know, so I take 15 rand, I buy shrubbery or a couple of extra long stem. What? And then I take my other fake beautiful flowers, I put them together in my house or wherever. And it makes a beautiful statement. But you go like, fake flowers. It's like you were cursed when you saw one of our plants here. What's up with that?
Well, I just think that, you know, the world is has too much critical mess, you know, of everything. And there's just too much plastic, and we need to upcycle more and recycle and become more minimalistic and indulge ourselves more into what is alive,
okay.
What has energy. So the plastic plants don't have energy. They get dust on them and you don't have to water them, so that's a bonus. But more than that, what is their value to you?
Mm-hmm.
Just for the visual.
So, but some of them are not plastic anymore. We are getting better with this. Some of them are silk. Some of them are fabric. You know, you know my roses, my silk roses.
You are looking for trouble.
You know, so just say it.
So that's okay. That's okay. But I think that's the first stepping stone is the fact that you admire, because you say that these fill up So they've got to look like plants. So
they do. They look really
fake
great.
Plants.
They're fake, but you know.
That's a good starting point to get to the real thing. But when you got the real thing, why do you want the fake?
Because the real thing is damn it all expensive.
No, it's
at
not.
Times.
Because you germinate. You germinate your plants. You can take a cut plant. So geranium is a beautiful plant because you don't have to go out. You can buy one. You can go to your friend's house and just take a piece of hers, and you can immediately put it in the soil and grow it, and you haven't paid a cent for it.
Right. That's a total new discussion because I don't know where I'm going to
so
get
you haven't spent
beautiful roses, you know, massive knobs of heads and, you know, so that's...
So you've got expensive taste.
I suppose, it's a conversation for another day, but
yes.
Thank you so much, for that. But I'm glad it's not, you know, a stigma.
It's the first stepping stone.
We need to cut down on stuff.
I think it's the first stepping stone to the real world.
Thank you so much.
It's a pleasure.
Wanda, again, just your website,
www.healthsense.co.za.
Perfect. It was so great to have this conversation
with you. Yes, I really enjoyed it. Sorry it's ended.
Plants have magic, right?
Totally. We believe that. We even thank them for being grown before we eat them. Yeah.
That we do.
So I'm going to say goodbye. Palisa, are you going to say goodbye too? She's not going to say
quiet.
Our Palisa Mabuyo was our control. And I'm Shemaine Harris. Thank you so much for listening. Be good to yourself.
And from me, Liesl Tom, take care.
This is CliffCentral.com.